I'd like to welcome those of you that are joining us by the way of the internet now. If you'd like to find your place in Job chapter 1, Job chapter 1, and this is another message in the series, Being Great in the Eyes of God. And here we're going to be looking at Job. And Job was a great man of faith. He was a great man with God. And Job chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East." A few months ago, I began studying where this word great was used in the Bible. And the word great is often used in reference to the Lord. It's used in reference to God's mighty acts among men. And the first mention of the word great in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, "And God made 2 great lights. And everybody in here has seen those great lights. And the greater light to rule by the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also, the Bible says. The second mention in the word great in the Bible is found in Genesis 1:21. "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Everything that God did was great. And everything, when he saw what he made, the Bible says it was good. But the third mention, that's interesting. The third mention of the word great in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The first time the word great is associated with man, it's not good. Now, everything God did was good. Man's first greatest accomplishment on earth was wickedness. Everything man thought about was nothing but evil continually. Everything that God did was great. Oh, how our God is great in His love. He's great in His mercy. He's great in great grace. He's great in forgiveness. Oh, Hebrews 2:3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him." Oh, for all eternity, we will lift up our voice and give God glory for our great salvation. In Revelation 19:1 it says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Man messed up in a great way, but God's deliverance and salvation is far greater. In Romans 5:20 it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Oh, in this series of Being Great in the Eyes of God, we've looked at Nehemiah and the great work that he did for God. And we looked at David, who grew great with God, the Bible says. Then we looked at Abraham, and says that God made of Abraham a great name, a great nation. And then we looked at Barzillai and his family, and how he used his resources for the Lord. And he used his resources to encourage the king, David. And we looked at Daniel, and how that he was a great man of God because he chose not to defile himself. We also looked at this Shunammite woman. The Bible says that she was a great woman, and she was great in the eyes of God because she invested in the presence of God.
You see, man messed up in a great way, but because of God's great mercy and grace, God gives man an opportunity to be great with Him. You know, God will use anybody. He'll use any of us to be great in His eyes. I just wonder, who will be the next great person for God? Who will be that next great person that just says, hey, I'll serve God with my life. I'll give Him everything. And 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. God is looking for someone that will just say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Lord, I want to be great in Your eyes. One may say, oh, that's all Old Testament, preacher. Well, in 1 Peter 3 it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You see, God gives us all a choice. We can be great with God. God still desires to bless the righteous and use them in a great way. Oh, can I just remind you tonight, there's still a great work to be done for God. Maybe a dad tonight will just decide to be great for God. Maybe a mom or a young lady, a young man will just decide to be great with God. Maybe some senior saint who will just decide to be great with God. I could share story after story of men and women who in their retirement years decided to do something great for God. Well, one man, he invented a part there, something that hooks onto a machine, and he had two or three companies competing for that invention, and he had the patent on this thing, and he told God, he said, God, if You'll bless me with this, and if You'll allow this to take fruit here, he said, I'll give You 90% of all the proceeds. I'll give it to missions, and I'll just live off the 10%. And God heard his prayer and blessed him, and he did what he promised to God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? He's just seeking for somebody. He's looking for somebody that would just be perfect toward Him like Job. And beside it to be great, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. Hey, can I ask you tonight, what are you praying for? What are you praying for? Are we praying for great things in the eyes of God to be used in a greater way? Are we praying for God to use us? Or are we just praying for temporal things? Lord, bless my food. Lord, take care of my needs today. Lord, you know I've got to go here, got to go there. Keep me safe. Well, all these things are wonderful, but they're not great. They're not great things. Are you praying in such a way that God would take notice of your prayer and say, man, I can use that person. In Job 1:3, it says, his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Well, what a title. What a title Job has here. He says, so this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Here it's alluding to Job's wealth. There's no doubt about it. His household was a great household. But when God looked at Job, He wasn't impressed with his children. He wasn't impressed with his substance, with his animals, with his wealth, with his lands or his household, or the fact that he was the greatest of all the men of the East. You know what God was impressed with? In verse 1 it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Look at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? What's a lot different, verse 3? There's a lot different than this being the greatest man of the East. God said there's none like him in the whole earth. And what categorized that? What made him set him apart? It says he was perfect, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. He said he ain't somebody that's got a lot of fortune. He ain't somebody that's got a lot of lands and a great household. He said, nah, he's wanting to live for me. That made him great in the eyes of God. You see, God was impressed with Job's choices to be perfect with God and upright, one that feareth Him and escheweth evil. God's assessment of Job was far more reaching than just being the greatest man of all the East. How many Christians, their sights are not on being great with God, they're on just being great in this world. In verse 8, God says to Job that there's none like him in the earth. You can be the greatest man in your town. You can be the greatest man on your job. You can be the greatest in your family, but what does God see in you? You see, Satan only looked at Job's earthly status. He looked at his wealth, his health, his prosperity, his pedigree, his status. But you see, Job didn't serve God because of his wealth. He didn't serve God because of his health, his prosperity, his pedigree, his status, his lands and household. He just served God because it was right. Job chose to be great with God. Job had a great testimony with God and man. Job had a great adversary. Job had great trials and affliction. He had great reversals of health and wealth and position and prosperity and family. Job had great rejection from wife, family, and friends. Job had great physical and mental torments. Job had great sorrow of heart. Job suffered great loss of his children, his wealth, his health. And even though God allowed him to go through great trials, throughout all these things, Job found great rest in the Lord. He found great peace in the Lord. He found great comfort and great hope and great grace and great mercy. He also found great deliverance and great restoration. You see, what Satan had taken away from him, God restored. Well, don't ever lose sight of that. God is able to do far greater than anyone else. In Job 42, turn there if you would, Job 42 and verse 10. Job 42 and verse 10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapik. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days." Did you notice that word in verse 10, that word captivity? He said, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job." Oh, our English dictionary tells us that word captivity means the state of being a prisoner or being in the power of an enemy by force or the fate of war. The Bible says that God turned the captivity of Job. He brought him out from under the power of the enemy. Or do you remember the day that you prayed? And I'm not talking about praying for your friends or even praying for yourself some need in your life. I'm talking about the day you saw yourself a sinner. You saw yourself captive to sin and Satan. But you prayed and you put your faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And God turned your captivity and everything changed that day. And God delivered you from the power of the enemy. Job could not save himself. It took a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. It takes a Savior to save us. Oh, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Hey, can I ask you, even as a Christian tonight, what do you need God to turn in your life? What area of your life needs victory tonight? Hey, there's a God in heaven that loves you and wants to help you. God never took His eyes off of Job. You see, God sees you tonight. Oh, what has the enemy done to you? What has the enemy done to your family? Or maybe you've done things to yourself. Maybe you've strayed from the right way. Maybe you've not been perfect with God. Or maybe you haven't been eschewing evil. Maybe your heart has not been right with God. Maybe you haven't been right with others. Or maybe you just feel like you're held captive by the enemy. And maybe you're held captive by some bad choice or sin in your life. Maybe you feel like someone else has got you pinned down. Hey, can I just point you to Jesus? Ephesians 4:8 says, "Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." We got a great Savior. We have a great Deliverer. And Jesus has defeated the enemy. Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the devil. And we can live a victorious Christian life, even in the trials of life. We've been looking in the book of James there for a while. And we can, the Bible says to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Why? Because we know that God is at work. God is in control. God is the one watching over us, and God is the one that can turn our captivity. Oh, behold, in James 5:11 it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Job's story, you see, is all about God. It's all about what God is accomplishing in us and through us. It's all about God's love and mercy. It's all about God's loving kindness toward all people. You see, God is sovereign in all matters of our life. God told Job, "Where were you when I created all things?" And you know, Job's reply was, I hate myself. I abhor myself. Oh, mind it something how the creature will complain about the Creator. But yet God is the one that's in control of all things. Oh, may the Lord help us. God loved Job's wife who gave up hope. God loved Job's family who had turned their back on him. God loved Job's friends who had a wrong view of God. Job's wife, family, and friends would have never experienced the deliverance, mercy, forgiveness, and blessings of God had Job not just resolved to be great with God. Had Job not purposed in his heart to just bless the name of the Lord in any circumstance? Had Job not been perfect, upright, fearing God, eschewing evil, there would have never been a chapter 42. You know, can I just remind you tonight that your church family needs you to be great with God? Our missionaries and the people they're reaching, they need us to be great with God. The bus families that God has entrusted us with, they need us to be great with God. Husband, your wife and children need you to be great with God. Wife, your husband and children need you to be great with God. Young people, those at your school and work, they need you to be great with God. People need the Lord. Would you just commit tonight to be a Job? To be great with God? See, it's not just about us. God wants to use us to reach others. God is still in the business of setting captives free. We better keep the latter end in sight. Let's keep God in sight. Job could not see God, but I like what he did. He just resolved to keep on serving Him because he knew that God was watching over him. In Job 23:10 it says, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of His lips. I've esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." As we wait for Jesus' soon return, would we just resolve to be great in the eyes of God and allow God to do great things in us, for us, and through us.